NOAA Fisheries is proposing to designate critical habitat in local waters for the main Hawaiian Islands insular false killer whale, a marine mammal that was listed in 2012 as an endangered distinct population segment under the Endangered Species Act. Jean Higgins is an endangered species biologist with NOAA, and she's with us to explain what that all means.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Thanks for coming in. Let's first of all, what is a insular false killer whale?
An insular false killer whale is one of the marine mammals that we have here in Hawaii's waters. They're found in the delphinid family, so they're a toothed whale, mm-hmm. a large marine predator, a large blackish-gray whale that's sometimes known as a blackfish as well. Mm-hmm. They have a falcate dorsal fin about halfway down their body.
A what?
A falcate dorsal fin, like the triangular-shaped dorsal fin that uh-huh. you'd recognize on a dolphin.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They're in our waters, they're about 4 to 4.5 meters in length usually for adult size. And they're a long-lived marine mammal. They're very social. They feed cooperatively and work together.
What has led to the decline in their population?
There's a lot of information suggesting that they had a historic decline, and there may be several threats that may have led to that. It could be actually having to do with competition with fisheries, interactions with fisheries, habitat degradation, and disease even.
What are the causes of, for example, of habitat degradation at the depths at which they live?
So for false killer whales, habitat degradation probably has to do with prey supply, so how many fish are available for them to actually eat, the size of the fish that they're eating, and really whether or not they have that supply available for growth.
So they're in competition with fishing.
Yeah, they are in competition with fishing when it comes to, they are a large marine predator. They're actually feeding off of pelagic fish and squid.
Mm-hmm. Are these near shore waters? Where are the waters that we're most concerned about?
So for our insular population of false killer whales, it is near shore waters. But for a false killer whale, they actually live offshore. So it's not in the near shore waters that you and I use for recreation necessarily. It's mm-hmm. in depths that are deeper than that. So our proposed designation actually is from 45 meters in depth to 3,200 meters in depth.
So this isn't likely to affect recreational use of the ocean?
No, not at all, actually. A critical habitat designation is actually really directed towards federal agency actions, mm-hmm. Those actions that they're carrying out, that they're funding, or that they're permitting. And the protections under the Endangered Species Act that are specific to critical habitat actually requires federal agencies to make sure that they don't destroy or adversely modify critical habitat. And they do that by working with the National Marine Fisheries Service and or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service when it's animal under their jurisdiction to actually make sure that the things that they're doing to manage and minimize impacts to the environment are actually going to be helpful for false killer whales.
Who would be likely to oppose your proposal?
I think most of the time people are just concerned about the proposal because they think that it could accidentally impact their activities. So yeah. If they're not involved with those types of federal actions, this designation actually won't apply to them. So that can be a misunderstanding that we often have with critical habitat.
Yeah.
And other folks who have concerns about critical habitat designations actually have to do with whether or not the designation may change how they consult with the National Marine Fisheries Service. So those are larger federal agencies. And a lot of times that's just questions about how do they do the analysis to consider their activities.
How do you go about informing the public about issues like this? Well, by doing what you're doing now.
Yeah, I guess we do it by doing talk shows like this. We actually put out all sorts of flyers and outreach information. We're actually doing a public meeting on December 7th here on Oahu, uh-huh. and it's an opportunity for the public to come in, hear a presentation about this designation. They can ask questions, and if they have testimony that they'd like to supply, we're actually taking public comments until January 2nd on this proposed action.
When a species becomes endangered, there are different stages of endangered, right? Endangered, critically endangered.
So under the Endangered Species Act, we actually just do threatened and endangered, but there are other authorities that use those different titles.
Mm-hmm. What are the criteria? I mean, how do you assess something like that?
When we actually looked at the false killer whales, whether or not it was endangered, we're looking at is how viable this population is over a time period and whether or not certain threats could potentially drive them to extinction.
Mm-hmm. But and you monitor that how?
We usually work with other stakeholders and researchers to try to look at this population. So we have a lot of partners who actually are working with us to do photo ID work. They do all sorts of tagging and actually looking at research on this population so we can get an idea of what's going on with the population, whether or not they may be declining, whether or not they may be recovering.
It seems as if tagging and other means of doing a census of marine populations has gotten a lot more sophisticated.
It definitely has over the years, but I don't think that actually makes it any less complicated. It can be difficult to get information on these marine populations.
But you're pretty confident of the information that's come your way in regard to this particular species, yeah?
So we have a lot of information that we looked at the historic declines on the population. Right now, we are still trying to get information about what the population's doing right at this present time. So we don't have a lot of information about trends of the population now. We think that the population's around 150 animals, and we're trying to determine which direction that's headed.
Yeah, so that would be one of the more difficult challenges of this, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a challenge in recovery planning for the species, and we're definitely having to work with other stakeholders to try to answer those types of questions.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what kind of answers you get, won't it, Jean?
Yes, I will.
Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Jean Higgins is an endangered species biologist with NOAA Fisheries Protected Resources Division in the Pacific Islands.